الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for this nation. We have been talking about some of the events that took place during the caliphate of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. We said that he was the fourth rightly guided caliph as chosen by the surviving companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he had opposition from Muawiyah, the governor of Ash-Sham. He refused to pay allegiance to him, using the excuse that Ali should punish the killers of Uthman, his relative. And we know that Ali and Muawiyah, both of them, did not know the killers of Uthman. So how could someone punish someone he doesn't know? But Ali mentioned that Muawiyah was using this as an excuse to keep his governorship of Ash-Sham, and because he likes rulership. And Muawiyah mobilized an army against Ali. Ali, of course, went out with an army to put Muawiyah to obedience. He tried many days with him sending envoys, reminding him to go back to the fold of obedience, but Muawiyah refused. And the two armies met in the area called Suffin. It's an area in Syria, east, I think. And the two armies met, and a lot of bloodshed took place. Thousands of Muslims were killed in this battle. So while Ali was busy with this, he also wanted to take care of certain other things, the people called Al-Khawarij. So inshallah, we want to start here. So when the month of Muharram passed, remember that they agreed that they would not fight during the month of Muharram, the two armies, Ali and Muawiyah. When the month of Muharram passed and the month of Safar started, Ali found that there was no use in prolonging the matter, keep on delaying, take care of Muawiyah. Hence he prepared for the battle. The first day, Ali dispatched only part of his army, and then only some more on the next day. And he did this to prevent unnecessary bloodshed. So he didn't want to just mobilize the whole army and start having a lot of Muslims in the opposite camp being killed. So he started doing it in part. And he continued to do this, one part of his army, until after another, for 7 days. On the 8th day, Ali sent the rest of his army to fight. On the 9th day, the fighting continued, and it was very intense. Ali saw his army winning, especially the group, means of his army, under the commander called Al-Ashtar. It was winning, obviously. And this battle, as we said, is called, or was called, the Battle of Suffin. Now fighting with Ali were famous companions in the army of Ali, fighting with him against Muawiyah, were famous companions like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and Ammar ibn Yasir, Ammar the son of Yasir. And Ali saw the victory coming close. His soldiers had pushed back Muawiyah's army to the place where Muawiyah himself was. So it means the soldiers of Ali could reach where Muawiyah was. So when the battle reached that critical point, Amr ibn al-As, the same one who had been Egypt's governor during Umar's caliphate, he consulted with Muawiyah. Then he told Muawiyah's soldiers, to hang the books of the Qur'an on their spears, raise them, and tell Ali's soldiers, we want the Qur'an to be our judge in this conflict. So he said to the soldiers, take copies of Al-Qur'an, put them on top of your spears, raise the spears, and then address Ali's soldiers by saying, we want the Qur'an to be our judge in this conflict. Ali radiallahu anhu knew that this tactic was just a trick on Muawiyah's part. So he knew that by fighting Muawiyah, at this point he was carrying out the orders of Allah, the orders of the Qur'an. Muawiyah wants to follow the Qur'an tells Ali to fight Muawiyah. He is the rightly guided caliph and he is entitled to fight those who rebel against him. However, despite that fact, Ali agreed to stop the fighting at that point because he did not want more Muslims to be killed. When Ali stopped the fight to see what Muawiyah had to say, Ali's army split into two factions. The first faction did not want Ali to stop the battle to see what Muawiyah wanted to say. They wanted to continue to fight Muawiyah's army. The second part of Ali's army agreed to have the treaty. So now you have Ali's army being split into two groups of soldiers, a group that wanted to continue fighting Muawiyah, not to stop and talk to Muawiyah about it, and a group that wanted to obey Ali and stop the fighting to see if there a treaty could be worked out. And this battle took a lot of time. Some scholars said it took 110 days. And there were 90 clashes between the two armies. Muawiyah's army lost 45,000 and Ali's lost 25,000. If you add them up, how much is it? About 70,000 people killed in this battle. And some of those who were killed on both sides were companions and followers of the companions. 26 of those people were from the people of Badr, radiallahu anhu. So Muawiyah and Ali each agreed to choose an arbitrator to settle the matter, to choose. Ali chose a person, Muawiyah chose the person. Thus, each one of these is called an arbitrator, means he will discuss what each part wants. So, and they agreed, Ali and Muawiyah agreed that whatever these two men decided would be binding. So, although Ali is not talking to Muawiyah directly, then they are talking to each other through these two people, those arbitrators. So Ali took his army to Kufa, and Muawiyah took his army to Syria. So the armies went away from each other. Kufa is in Iraq, and Muawiyah went back to Syria. The man picked by Ali was the companion, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu. So Ali picked the companion Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, one of the very trustworthy companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muawiyah picked another companion of the Prophet. He chose Amr ibn al-As, who was the governor of Egypt during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Many people attended this meeting of the two companions, serving as representatives of either Ali or Muawiyah. During this meeting, however, Amr ibn al-As played a trick on Abu Musa. He said to Abu Musa, "Why not have the two of us remove both of our men from office, and then let the Muslims pick the man they want to be Khalifa? So why don't you and I work on just say, we want to remove Muawiyah and Ali, and then let the Muslims choose the best man for the job." For some reason, which was not correct, Abu Musa agreed to this. When Abu Musa said, "Let's remove Ali," Amr did not say, "And we remove Muawiyah." Instead, Amr said, "No, we will not remove Muawiyah, although you removed Ali." So, although they had, Amr agreed that they would, or he suggested that both would be removed, when Abu Musa agreed to remove Ali, Amr did not agree to remove Muawiyah. He said, "Now that you removed Ali, I will not remove Muawiyah." When Ali heard of what Abu Musa agreed to, of course he was very upset with Abu Musa. By Abu Musa doing this, the camp of Ali became divided. Some of Ali's supporters said to him, remember they were against his treaty, and people who were with him for the treaty. Now the people who wanted the treaty now also got divided. So some of his supporters said to Ali, "How could you accept for those men to decide if you are the true caliph?" It means if you are the true caliph, you don't need them to decide for you. You decide. You are religiously entitled to do that. How do you leave that authority that is given to you by Allah through the Quran and the Sunnah and let this decision be taken by other than you?" That's what they told him. So as a result, they stopped supporting Ali radiallahu anh and incited people against Ali. So they told Ali to repent, because they claim that Ali had committed a sin. So it means Ali did not follow the Quran and the Sunnah according to them. So Ali committed a sin, he should repent of it. And Ali overlooked their ranting, but he observed what they were doing. Means he knew those people are causing trouble, but he did not go and arrest them and stop them. But he kept an eye on them. So these people are the ones who became a group called Al-Khawarij, the renegades if you want, or Kharijites, or Kharijites if you want. So Al-Khawarij are this group of Ali's soldiers who just went off Ali's army, accused him of not following the Quran. There are so many hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam praising Ali radiallahu anhu and telling the people to love Ali. Whereas the only hadith of the Prophet about Muawiyah is one in which the Prophet makes an unfavorable supplication against Muawiyah. So the Prophet praised Ali in many, many hadith. But the Prophet mentioned Muawiyah in one hadith, and in that one hadith that the Prophet mentioned Muawiyah, he made a supplication against Muawiyah. And the hadith is that one time the Prophet called for Muawiyah, sent a man for Muawiyah to come to him. And this man found Muawiyah eating. So Muawiyah, he told him, "The Messenger of Allah wants you." And Muawiyah said, "I'm eating." So the man went back to the Prophet. He told him, he said he was eating. The Prophet sent this man again. Again, Muawiyah said, "I'm eating." third time the Prophet sent the man, and the third time Muawiyah said, I'm eating. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لا أشبع الله لك بطنا أو لا أشبع الله بطنك. And the Prophet said, may Allah not make you feel full. May your stomach not feel full. Means you may you eat and not feel full. And that's what happened later. Muawiyah was known to love to eat a lot and he would not feel full. So you have two people. One, Ali, praised by the Prophet in many instances, many hadith. And you have Muawiyah, who was dispraised by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that one hadith. Now, we said Ali did not like what Abu Musa did. Ali did not accept his Abu Musa's decision, means to remove Ali. Although, previously he said he would accept his decision. Why? Because Ali had believed that Abu Musa would make direct negotiations, but he did not. However, when Abu Musa made this mistake, Ali could not agree to it. So, due to Abu Musa saying that Ali would step down, Muawiyah used that statement of Abu Musa to claim himself that he was now, at the time, the rightly caliph chosen by the Muslims. So he said, Ali is being removed by his representative, so I'm now the lawful or the rightful caliph of the Muslim state. So that was his claim after that. That is a result of Abu Musa's mistake. Now, those people who used to be with Ali and splintered off and opposed Ali, the Khawarij, did not just leave Ali's army considering as sinful, going against the Quran. They started also killing good people. They did not just oppose, they just went into killing Muslims. One of the people they killed was Abdullah, the son of a companion called Khabbab ibn al-Arad. So, Abdullah, the son of Khabbab ibn al-Arad. Abdullah ibn Khabbab ibn al-Arad. Khabbab was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was one of the early Muslims, of the early people to embrace Islam. The scholars mentioned that he was the sixth, number six, to embrace Islam in Mecca when the Prophet called people to Islam. And this Khabbab, he attended all the battles that the Prophet ﷺ ordered, one of which was the great battle of Badr. So he was one of the best companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah inflicted him with ailments in his body. And his ailments were so serious that he almost asked Allah to make him die. He could not bear with the pains that he had. But he said, since the Prophet, urged us, discouraged us from asking Allah to inflict on us, death when we are sick or inflicted, he did not ask Allah to make him die and get rid of this ailment. However, he died in the year 37 Hijri after the battle of Siffin between Muawiyah and Ali. And Imam Ali radiallahu anhu performed the funeral prayer for him. He said, he stood at his, when he passed by a grave one time, he said, may Allah have mercy on Khabbab. Rahimallahu Khabbab. May Allah have mercy on Khabbab. Aslama raghiba wa hajara ta'i'a wa 'asha mujahida wa bituliya fi jismihi ahwala wa lan yudhayya Allahu ajrahu. He said, may Allah have mercy, Ali said when he passed by Khabbab's grave. He said, may Allah have mercy on Khabbab. He embraced Islam willfully. Yes, he came asking, seeking Islam. He wasn't like forced or out of shyness. He became Muslim. He came out of faith in Islam, seeking for it. And he immigrated obediently. He went to Al-Madinah upon the orders of the Prophet, in obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived warring. He lived while fighting for the sake of Islam, and was afflicted in his body for years. Then Ali said, Allah will not waste his reward. Allah will not have Khabbab lose his reward. Means he thought well of Khabbab, that he was a good man, and Allah will reward him greatly for all the good things that he had done during his life. So, the man who was killed by these renegades, these Khawarij, was the son of this Khabbab, named Abdullah. Abdullah was with his woman when he passed some of these Khawarij, some of these renegades. So they cried out to him, to Abdullah. They told him, they knew him. They said, tell us a hadith which your father heard from the Prophet. Your father was a companion of the Prophet. He must have heard some hadith of the Prophet. So relate to us one of those hadith. So when Abdullah told them a certain hadith, these Khawarij did not like this, what he said. We're not going to say what the hadith is. We'll do it later, inshallah. Okay? But he said a hadith that made these people upset. So when they heard that hadith, they did not like it. They killed him. They killed his pregnant woman, and then the unborn baby. They opened up her belly and they killed the baby inside. So they were very criminal. They killed the man and his woman and the unborn fetus or baby. When Ali received the news of this killing, he fought these Khawarij. He carried arms against them. First, he sent Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu to guide them to the truth. These people, you know, get off on a bad path. So Ali wanted them to get back to the correct path. So he sent Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a very knowledgeable companion, hoping that they would repent by Abbas ibn Abbas talking to them. So Abdullah ibn Abbas talked to them, and there are details how he did that. But he convinced most of them to go back to obedience, and they repented. They just were convinced by his argument, and they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those Khawarij who went off, splintered off Ali's army, opposed Ali, and accused him of committing, you know, enormous sin, that those people were 12,000. 8,000 of them repented. So like 2/3 of them repented, and 1/3, 4,000 did not, they refused to repent. So Ali fought these remaining renegades. He said, I swear by the one who controls my soul. I swear by Allah, by God. I swear by the one who controls my soul, there will not be 10 killed from our army, and all of them, means the opposite, the enemy, will be killed except less than 10. So he said, from my army, there will be killed less than 10. From them, there are only 10, or about 10 will be remaining from them. All of them will be killed except about 10. And Ali said that, he said that statement, he doesn't know the future. Ali said that because he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling him, the Prophet told Ali that this will happen in the future, you will be fighting certain groups, and that group, that's what will happen. Your army will not lose 10, and their army, all of them will be killed except about 10 of them will be remaining. So it happened exactly as Ali swore. The outcome of the battle came. 9 of Ali's men were killed, and only 9 of the Khawarij survived the battle. So all of them were killed, and 9 of them. So 9 of Ali's army were killed, that's less than 10. And 9 of the Khawarij survived the battle. And he said all of them will be killed except less than 10. And that agreed with what the Prophet had told him. And this battle in which Ali fought his Khawarij was known the Battle of Nahrawan. And it took place in the year 38 Hijri in Iraq. And Nahrawan is an area in Iraq. So in the year 37, he fought the Battle of Siffin against Muawiyah. 38, he fought the group of Al-Khawarij in Nahrawan. And before Muawiyah, Ali fought the group in the Battle of Al-Kamal, of the Kamal Al-Jamal, as you already know. Now, after the battle was over, Ali radiallahu anhu told his men to look among the dead Khawarij until they find a man with a growth on his arm that looks like a small breast, like something's growing out of his arm that looks like a breast, small breast. They looked but did not find such a man. So they went among the dead Khawarij, and they came back saying that they did not find a man with such a growth on his arm. When they told Ali that, Ali said, look again, he is here. He said, I swear by Allah that I did not lie. And the one who told me that he would be here did not lie. I swear I did not lie. Means when I gave you those, you know, features of this man, this description of the man with a growth on his arm that looks like a small breast, I wasn't lying, I wasn't just making it up. And the one who told me that such a man will be in this battle and will be killed did not lie about it. And he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Prophet told him, you will fight, and those Khawarij, and less than 10 of them will survive, and among the killed will be a man with some growth on his arm that looks like a small breast. So Ali said, I did not lie, and the Prophet who told me that such a man would be there did not lie. So Ali's men kept on searching until they find that dead man with those signs. And they could not find him because he went under a pile of dead people. So they looked at the surface, they didn't see him, he was under a pile of dead people. So Ali looked at the dead man and saw the sign which the Prophet had described to him. He said, Allahu Akbar. Then he told his men the whole story of how he knew that such a man would be among the dead of his battle. It means he told him the incident when the Prophet told him about this dead man. Now, during his caliphate, Ali radiallahu anhu had to fight rightfully those 3 unjust groups. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had foretold Ali about those groups because he had received the revelation about it. And we said the first battle was the Battle of Kamal, which occurred against those who gathered around Talha, Az-Zubayr, and Aisha. And we said those 3 great Muslims, means Talha, Aisha, and Az-Zubayr, did not fight Ali and repented of disobeying him. They, of course, they made the mistake of going out against his orders. They were joined by a group of people, but they did not go out to fight Ali, but their going out was sinful. We told you Talha and Zubair repented, but they were killed. Aisha repented and kept on crying until there was a mark on her cheeks. The second battle, which happened later after the first one, was the Battle of Siffin, which occurred when Muawiyah mobilized a large army against Ali, wanting the caliphate for himself. The third battle was the Battle of Nahrawan against the Khawarij. And the Khawarij, we said, they were the group who used to support Ali, but then they went against him after Abu Musa made the mistake of saying that Ali would step down as caliph. Now, there are some hadith and stories which will help you get a better understanding about the groups which rebelled against Ali. Additionally, there are more of Imam Ali's great merits upon which to expound. So we have two aspects that we would like to present to you. One, we need to give you some background so that you know how these three groups came about. And also, we need to mention more of Ali's merits, inshallah. One of the great companions of the Prophet named Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He said, once we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was dividing among the Muslims some wealth that came to him. So the Prophet was brought some wealth and he wanted to divide it among Muslims. While this was happening, a man came addressing the Prophet in a rough way, in an impolite way. The man said to the Prophet about his division. The Prophet was dividing this wealth, so he commented on the dividing of the Prophet. He said, be just, be fair. He's telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said to him, woe to you, is lost to you. If I'm not fair, who is fair? I'm the Prophet of Allah. I'm the Prophet and I'm not fair. Who else could be fair? You would be a loser if you believe that I'm not fair, for you would be following a loser. So the Prophet ﷺ was telling this person, if he believed that the Prophet was not fair, then this is he's a blasphemer because he's committing this sin of telling the Prophet was not trustworthy, and that's blasphemy, he would be a loser. Now, when this happened, one of the companions that was present was our master Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, O Messenger of Allah, just give me the permission to chop this man's head off. The Prophet said, leave him. When you compare your prayer and fasting to his, means to this man's prayer and fasting, and to his followers, means to the prayer of his followers and fasting his followers, you will consider your prayer and fasting so little in comparison. So if you want to compare what the way you pray, the amount you pray, and the fasting that you do, to the prayer and the fasting that this man does and his followers do, you're going to find that your prayer and fasting is so little in comparison. Then the Prophet said, they, means this man and his followers, they recite the Quran, but it does not go beyond their throats. Which means that their recitation does not affect them. They do not properly understand the meaning of the rules of the Quran. So you just say the words of the Quran and they do not follow these rules. They do not understand these rules. These people, the Prophet said, will exit Islam, will leave Islam. The same way the arrow enters the prey and passes all the way through to the other side. It means just like the arrow goes into a prey through it and leaves through the other side, how easy it goes. These people just go into Islam, get out of it that fast and that easy. Nothing of the prey is left clinging to such an arrow. So when the arrow goes through the prey, nothing is clinging with the arrow of the body of the prey. So these people, they come into Islam, apparently, and they leave it and nothing of Islam is left with them. It means they're not Muslim. Their sign, the Prophet said, is a man who will have a floppy piece of flesh on his arm like a woman's breast. They, it means the group that follows this man, they will be with the people, means they will mingle among the Muslims, and split from the people, and then they're gonna leave the Muslims. And you know, they were with Ali radiallahu anhu, and they left Ali and the other Muslims. So this is one hadith in which the Prophet refers to this man and his group. So these Khawarij were known. Apparently they prayed a lot, they fasted a lot, they were very diligent in their acts of worship, but they were crooked in their belief and in their actions. They split into more than 20 groups. Some of these groups considered Ali and Muawiyah as kafir. They said they're not following the Quran, and they considered them as kafir. And few people nowadays follow them. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, the man who is narrating this hadith, I testify that I heard this hadith from the Prophet. Ali fought this group, the Khawarij, and I was with him when this happened. Ali ordered for this man to be brought forth. I looked at his mark. He had on his arm what the Prophet had described. So that's a testimony from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri for Ali, that he was truthful about what he said. So he said, Ali said that the Prophet told him about the man. Abu Sa'id said, I heard this from the Prophet myself. So, and I saw when the man was brought in front of Ali also. So it means he heard the Prophet and he saw the realization of the Prophet's hadith. Now when the Romans heard about Uthman's murder and the battles Ali, the new caliph, was fighting, they saw this as a good time to step in. Remember, there were two empires, the Roman and the Persian Empire. And the Persian Empire was gone during the time of Uthman. The Roman Empire was still, of course, they fought the Muslims in the area of Asham, and they lost. They fought in the area of Egypt, they lost. So, but the empire was not finished yet. So when they saw that the Muslims during the time of Ali were busy among the, you know, internally, they thought that this is an opportunity to step in. Now, Constantine, the son of Heraclius, set sail. He was the emperor at the time. Heraclius was an emperor, but during the time of Ali, his son Constantine was the emperor. He set sail, means he came with a fleet of ships, 1,000 ships, to invade the Muslims. So when these ships got closer to the Muslims' land, Allah sent a huge wind on the fleet, and all were destroyed except for a few. When Constantine returned to Constantinople, which is nowadays called Istanbul, the Romans were mad at him. His people were mad at him. They said, the people, I mean the masses, they said to him, you got our people killed. And they proceeded to kill him. Imam Ali radiallahu anhu saw the danger of what Muawiyah was doing, and that he had to fight him, remember? In the Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 9, Allah orders us that when two Muslim groups fight, to try to reconcile them. Allah said in Al-Quran, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. So the ayah says that Allah says if two groups of Muslims were fighting each other, then try to reconcile them, to set up the agreement or the difference between them peacefully. And now, if one of these two groups aggresses against the other group, then fight the aggressor, the aggressing group. So Ali radiallahu anhu, by this ayah, was obligated to fight Muawiyah because he was the aggressor. He is the one who refused to pay allegiance to Ali and mobilize an army against him. So, during these battles, when they were happening, the three battles that we mentioned, Ali's children, of course, they were worried about him because Ali would be fighting in the front lines. So he is in the danger of being killed. So they sent his children, Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, and so they sent people to him to distract him from doing the fighting himself. Like, we need you here and there, so he doesn't have to fight. But Ali would trick those people and just go to the battle and fight. And he fought until his sword was bent. So Ali would say, my sword apologizes to you. Meaning, I cannot fight anymore because my sword is bent. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that man who went to the Khawarij and convinced him, he also fought, as well as Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Ammar was at that time 90 years old. Ammar, remember, he was a young man. He was tortured in Mecca with his parents. His parents were killed before him, and he later was released and, you know, joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you consider, like, how many, 23 years of prophethood, during which Ammar was a Muslim, and then you have about 20 years with the four caliphs, so that's 40, and if he was a teenager, that he would be. So he was 9 years old at the Battle of Siffin. So you could make the math and see how old he was in Mecca. So now, his hand shook when he held a spear, because he was 9 years old. But he still fought in these battles, carrying out Allah's order. He said, this Ammar, if they fought us and drove us to Hajar, I would still believe that we are the people of the truth. Hajar is an area which is in Arabia. They were fighting Muawiyah in Syria. So he said, even if Muawiyah's army keep on fighting us and pushing us backwards and like we're defeated, to the extent to the borders of Hajar, I still believe that we are truthful. I will not have any doubt that I'm following the right group, the group of Ali radiallahu anhu. Some of Muawiyah's people noticed that Ammar was fighting on Ali's side. And these were people who heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, وَيْحَ عَمَّارْ تَقْتُلُهُ الْفِئَةُ الْبَاغِيَةُ, that the aggressors will kill Ammar. He said, يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَيَدْعُونَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. He calls them to paradise, means to be obedient to Allah and follow Ali's group. And they call him to hellfire. The other people call him to disobey Ali, to go to hellfire. So these people who heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that, they notice Ali, Ammar is on Ali's side. So he must be on the right side, and Muawiyah's group will be on the aggressing side. And this hadith was mutawatir, which has the highest level of authenticity. Mutawatir means if an event is narrated through mutawatir, it means a large group of people witnessed this event taking place. It means they heard it, or saw it, or both, saw it and heard it. And they narrated this event to a large group of people. And this large group of people, you know, narrated this event to a large group of people, and in a way that these people would not have, it is impossible for these people to have lied about the event. So it's called mutawatir. Means, for example, do we have any doubt that there was a man in history called Napoleon, who was the head, the Emperor of France, and he fought the British? We have no doubt. Did we see him? No. But a lot of people met with Napoleon, fought against Napoleon, fought with Napoleon, and then they narrated the events that took with Napoleon to the extent that we know that Napoleon existed. So this hadith, وَيْحَ عَمَّارُ تَقْتُلُوا فِيَةُ الْبَاغِيَةِ يَدْعُونَهُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ وَيَدْعُونَهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَيَدْعُونَهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَيَدْعُونَهُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ, that this hadith was narrated by a large group of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so these people became hesitant. These people who knew of the hadith became hesitant about continuing to fight on Muawiyah's side, and they told Muawiyah why. Muawiyah told them, well, shortly Ammar will join us. So he wanted to keep them in his camp. He said, he will join us shortly, you know, soon. However, those men who hesitated were killed and never saw Ammar changing camps in joining Muawiyah. Actually, Ammar never joined Muawiyah. Muawiyah was lying about it. Then Ammar was killed in the battle against Muawiyah. Now, at that point, there is no way to say that he would join us. He now was killed by Muawiyah's soldiers. So Muawiyah said, no, we did not kill Ammar. He said, no, we did not kill Ammar. The one who killed him was Ali, because he brought him into the battle in which Ammar died. So he tried to make misinterpretation of the hadith, that when the Prophet said, Ammar, the aggressing group will kill Ammar, he meant that Ali caused Ammar's killing by bringing him into the battle. So of course, Muawiyah's claim was severely flawed and was ridiculous, because Ali responded to Muawiyah. Ali said, according to this illogic of your claim about Ammar, then the Prophet is the one who killed his own uncle Hamza in the battle of Uhud. Because the Prophet, he took his uncle Hamza to the battle. So according to you, the Prophet killed his uncle, not, you know, Wahshi. So if you are going to compare this to this, that's what would be decided. And of course, this is not true. He could not, Muawiyah could not say that about the Prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed Ali with clarity of reason. Muawiyah could not answer Ali back. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Allah knows best. Barakallahu fi. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.